Got your Bibles? Go right on real quickly to 1 Kings chapter number 18. I started a series on Sunday morning. I preach Sunday morning. I preach Sunday night on this series. I'll preach again tonight. I'm going to try to get all the material out to you tonight. But if I was going to do this justice, Jeff, it would take me probably 7 to 8 sermons. I probably could do 1 point each night in a revival. And I'm going to one of these days take this and do a series of meetings with this passage of Scripture. 1 Kings chapter number 18. If you're there, say amen. Go down to verse 36. I'll read. I'm going to pray before I read, because once I read, I want to really get in it, hit the ground running, and preach on this theme. I don't know if you saw today, Brother Jared Shoemate had a special plea from his heart. They had a great meeting last night, but he said he didn't feel like it was finished. And Brother Townsend is preaching for him this week, and God's moved in their service. And I'm going to pray that God will move in the next, he'll probably be mounting the pulpit in a moment, and I want to pray for that revival. I want to pray for our revival, and I want you to pray specifically about something. Now, I'm just 3 weeks out on my surgery, and that is from, I just had surgery 3 weeks tomorrow. So I've got a funeral tomorrow. I'll be getting in the car, driving to Pigeon Forge. There are going to be about 2,000 believers there for the meeting of Smoky Mountain Jubilee. I preached there years ago. Our choir used to go down there. And I want to be ready to preach. I know Lowell Scales is going to come and sing tomorrow night and Friday morning right before I preach. I'm looking forward to being there. So you pray. I want to see a move of God down there. And I want to see a move of God in this country. How many believe this country needs a move of God? If you have witnessed what I've witnessed, and I'm not going to get in that mess. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not going to talk about no politics, no mess, because it is a mess. But I want you to know the answer's not in Congress. It's obvious. The answer's not in Donald Trump. He's not the answer. But the answer is in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, God sent fire from heaven revival. That's the answer. America needs hope, and the only hope is a move from God. I want to preach it tonight. I want you to look at verse 36. And down to verse 38. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now notice the 63-word prayer. Concluding in verse 36 and 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord thy God, Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. And notice this statement, then the fire of the Lord fell. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a significant word, then. That tells me something had to happen before the then. How many agree with that? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot manufacture revival. We can't drum it up. We can't get a bunch of tambourines and get music going. Yeah, yeah. And, hey, we can't do that. That's not how you have revival. But there is a recipe on revival. I've hit 3 points already. I'll give you as many as I can give you tonight. First of all, I told you, the then, first of all, is holy reparations. If the altar's been broken down, we've got to have sincere repentance, a spiritual restoration, and a statement revolution or resolution. And then we talked about a human renunciation. When Look what he done. He put a bullock. It cost something dead. A dead sacrifice. You know something? We ever going to have revival, it's going to cost us something. Yes. Then a deliberate stage. First of all, he placed wood. I have one of our members that had to watch my live stream. They got the flu. I know they're not here tonight. Some of our new members, the Wolfsters, they're sick. But Brother Wolfster's one of these encouraging kind of guys. That's the kind of guy he is. I'm glad we got him. And he said, count on me for throwing some logs on the fire for you. You know what we need? We need some people in the church that said, I want to see the fire burning. So what I got, I'm going to throw my log on the fire. But not only did he place the wood, this is significant. He poured the water. Now listen to this. I heard a preacher say this and he was wrong. He said he only poured four barrels. He's wrong there. Actually poured four barrels first. But if you notice the scripture, he done it a second time and a third time. He poured 12 barrels of water till the whole ditch, the whole trench was flooding over. You know what that says to me? That God, I want you to annihilate anything in me that says what came from God was of me at all. I'm going to tell y'all why we don't see revival. Because we think it comes from us. We think because of our eloquent preaching, our great ability to sing, our great ability to draw a crowd, that brings revival. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to pour the water in. Because when you do that, you're telling God, I'm annihilating everything about me. If it comes, it's because of you. Number three. And this all, you already heard this. An honorable recognition. He had an intimate approach. He came near. He had an incredible acknowledgement and an intense aspiration. But I want you to notice another thing tonight. The fourth thing in this lesson. Then the fire fell. Ladies and gentlemen, you want the fire to fall in your life? Let's look what the Word of God says. This is amazing to me. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Now notice this statement. I want you all to see this. Holy Ghost put this in here. That Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Now notice this statement. And that I am thy servant. Number four, you're going to have revival. There's got to be a humble resignation. This is the only man in the Bible that called fire down from heaven. But I want you to know something. You're not going to get fire if you're full of yourself. See, here's the whole problem. We think we do it. We just get full of ourselves. And you know what a shameful thing is? That we get the gifts that God's given us. And somehow, we translate that into something that we got to be proud of. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what Elijah said about himself? Now, the Holy Ghost called him a prophet. He said, I'm a servant. Somebody help me preach. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a day and time. We need right now, folks, just say to themselves tonight that when we understand who God is, we'll understand who we are. Just old sinners saved by the grace of God. A servant's position. I am thy servant. The Holy Ghost told him he was a prophet. But he realized he's just a servant. I'm going to make a statement. The best choir members are servants. The best bus captains are servants. The best soul winners are servants. The best pastors are servants. The best deacons are servants. The best Sunday school teachers are servants. The best Christians are servants. I want to tell you what I am. I'm your servant. I want to pour everything I got out because I am your servant. And secondly, he had a submissive perspective. And that I have done all these things according to thy word. I want to make a statement to you. Chad, we'll never have revival outside of being obedient to God's word. Amen. You say, Preacher Smith, I'm trying to work it. No, no, no. You got to be obedient to God's word. Do God's word. Follow God's word. I be obedient to God. You said, but sometimes I don't like it. Whether you like it or don't like it, you got to be obedient to it. Amen. What things did he do? Joe used. He rebuilt the altar. He put the wood on. He poured the water in the trench. How many think that everybody in that crowd thought he was an idiot? Have you ever started a fire and poured four barrels of water on your fire? They probably thought he was out of his mind. But I want you to know something. He did it God's way. And I'd like to climb up on this pulpit right now and tell you, until we do it God's way, there will be no revival until we follow his principles and his precepts and go for him. There will be no revival. But the moment we follow his word, God will send the fire. And a sincere plea. Hear me. God, I want you to send fire. And he was telling God, he said, God, I want you to vouch for me. Because I want you to know something. Now, I want to correct the record. I had another preacher one time got up and said, well, there's only 450 of those guys. You're wrong. There's 450 Baal prophets, but there also were 400 other prophets. There's 850 of them guys. Could you imagine? And then he had Israel, who was in unbelief. It was only him. And he was looking at that crowd who was angry at him. And he said, God, I don't want to speak for myself. I want you to vouch for me. Ladies and gentlemen, it'll be a happy day in your life when the opposition against you, that you will not try to defend yourself or vindicate yourself, or get a fire trigger out and try to put the fire out that they're trying to cause in your life. No, let God vindicate you. You'll find yourself less in the flesh if you do that. There's a good example of that. Job said that I might find him. And he told God this: I want him to weigh me in an even balance. And he told God this: testify on my behalf. How many times have we tried to prove ourselves, that try to defend our case, when we ought to let God to defend our case? Whew. That's good stuff. By the way, how many of y'all believe the Bible's still real? How many of you believe it's still relevant? How many of you believe it's still reliable? So we ought to follow those things. Number five. Look at verse 37-38. Let's examine that prayer. Or 36 and 37-38. I counted it. 63 words. 63 words. That other crowd prayed all day. Broke the altar down, Tim. And Elijah prayed 63 words. And he makes a statement in verse 37. And I want you to notice, first of all, the divine attentiveness. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me. What he was saying is, God, turn your speakers on. Hear me. You know, it's hard to get people to listen. Somebody say amen. He said, hear me. First of all, he had a passionate cry because he said, O Lord. See, I'll tell you what's wrong with our generation. Passionateless prayer. How many's read the verse of Scripture? The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what I see? I see a lot of people that are just not, they don't have passion. I'm talking about getting on your knees and saying, God, I need you. And you pray till the help comes. It's now we lay our head down to sleep, ain't going to get it. In this lost, wicked world, we need a passionate cry. And then we need a personal call. Hear me. If you want heaven to hear you and to help you and to heal you, actually, Ed, I want to say something to you. Your cause is not too big for God. He is not done with you. Here's what God wants out of you, Antoinette, and everybody in this world. You beg Him to hear you. You beg Him to heal you. You beg Him to send you fire. You plead with Him. You agonize with Him. And you may see something great. Oh, I want Him to help me. Thank you, brother. Now look at 37b. Look at the driving aim. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. Listen to this. That this people may know that Thou art the Lord God. His driving aim was that God got the glory. Somebody help me. He was selfless. Ladies and gentlemen, God will never bless you until you give Him the glory. I hear people get healed. And they say, well, I'm glad I'm healthy again. You ought to give God the glory. Somebody say amen. When the Lord Jesus came onto this earth, the Bible said He humbled Himself as a servant. And you know what He said in His Lord's Prayer? Lord, Thine is the glory. He wanted to deflect the glory of Him to God. And until we wanted to, our driving aim is to deflect the glory from us and get it to God Almighty. Next week, if God sends us revival, I don't want people to run out of this church and say, well, oh, what a pastor. And oh, what an evangelist. And oh, what a good group of singers. You know what I want, Lois? I want them to say, oh, what a God. Oh, what an almighty God. He showed up for us. He appeared to us. Oh, what a God. Woo! Number six, I'm going to hurry. Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Number six, I see a heavenly response. A particular source, the fire of the Lord. You know what our ministry needs here at Taze Valley? The fire of the Lord. We got programs and they're great. But ladies and gentlemen, if those programs are going to produce fruit, they've got to have fire. Then a powerful showing How many of y'all would y'all like to have been there? Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. I can't jump up on something I do. I'll kill myself. Here's what happened. Look at me. Let me tell you what happened. The fire came down, consumed the sacrifice, the stones, the dust, and look at this, and licked up the water. 12 barrels of water was consumed by the power of God. And I want to ask you a question. If God's fire can consume that altar and those stones and that dust and lick up the water, why don't you think He can't do something great for you? A heavenly response. Is that good? You're young men, but when you get in a meeting where you know that God responded and you heard from heaven, I want you to know something. It'll be unlike any little revival we hold. I've been in one, and almost two, but one in particular. It's amazing. It wasn't when I got up in my old age when I saw this move of God. Actually, I was 23 years old. 23. I'll tell you the story. When I saw God do something that I couldn't do, I was pastoring a church out Elkview called Leatherwood Baptist. You go out of Elkview and then you go past Frame to Leatherwood. Ladies and gentlemen, when I started revive our church there, there was 19 members. After 1 year, one man died, so I had 18. We didn't have one soul saved, one life changed, one person joined the church, and nothing moved. And I got to tell y'all something. My wife will testify to this. I went to her, and I said, "Honey, I'm an absolute failure. I've preached to these people a year, and they ain't nobody got saved. And they ain't nobody joined the church. And we got less now than we had when I started." And this came from my wife. She read over there in the book of Mark. It said, "This kind cometh by prayer and fasting." She said, "Pastor," she called me Pastor. And when she does that, boy, I know to look up. She said, "Pastor, us me and you go without eating from Friday till Sunday. That's 72 hours. And what we done, we drank orange juice, some water, and we didn't eat. And we prayed. We prayed for 3 days and didn't eat a bite. I didn't eat nothing until the afternoon of the revival when it started. 72, almost 72 hours. I'm going to tell you what happened. Then the fire fell. We had a revival, a man named Chester Bird. Some of you may not know who he is. We call him the Big Bird. He weighed way more than I did. He came out to the church and I told him, I said, "Commitment 2 weeks." No, wasn't that something? 2 weeks. And I said, "I want you to come out, and what we'll do, I'll take 2 weeks of vacation. We'll visit every day. We'll visit every day. And then we'll go out to eat every evening with one of the church members just to see if God will do something." And we did that every day because God told me to do it. When that revival ended, 2 weeks later, 43 people got saved. One of them was quite unique because he was my bartending daddy. I went out in Poker River and baptized, church, There's 43 people. By the way, ain't very often you get 43 saved and they all joined the church. And the church went from 18, and in 2 weeks, Sunday after 2 weeks, we had 118 people out at that church. And when I left that church, we were averaging 108. And if I took you out there right now, you'd say, where would they come from? I can't explain it. All I can tell you is I got a heavenly response. And I've seen God in this church add and bring in people. We had two families here Sunday that really got, they really loved what they saw. See, what we got to do is get the fire there and people will come and watch it burn.
Amen.
Number 7, that's Holy Ghost revival. In verse 38-39, then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I see a glimpsing realization when they saw it. You know what I'm hoping? Next week, some of you get to see something you ain't never seen before. A genuine move of God. And then they had genuine repentance. And they fell on their faces. By the way, the lower you go, the higher He goes. Whew. What did Moses do when he saw God? He took off his shoes. What did Isaiah do when he saw God? He said, woe is me. What did Job say when he saw God? He said, I abhor myself. I'll tell you what happened to you. You ever get to fire God, you'll see how wicked you really are and how great He is. Then I see a generated reverence. The Lord showed up. A godly resolution. He said, the Lord, He is God. And a great revival in verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them. 850 people's heads got cut off. And liberalism was destroyed.
Amen.
And corruption. You want to get rid of the liberals in this country? Let's get the fire. They can't take it. They just can't handle it. But I want you to know something. Not only will God bring revival, but God will stamp out the enemies.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I still got a couple minutes. Let me give you one more. Look at verse 42. How many of y'all remember what the chapter started with? Anybody here remember? Elijah stopped the rain, right? And now he came back. And they needed the rain. I saw the girl saying Sunday morning, send the rain, send the fire. Look at verse 42. Are y'all there? And Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went and looked and he said, there's nothing. And he said, go even seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud. Whoa! Out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. See, in verse 1, he said, Ahab, I want you to know it's going to rain. Expected deliverance. Ladies and gentlemen, there won't be no rain until you start expecting it coming. I wonder how many members in this church don't even believe there's going to be a revival. You don't believe it. You don't believe your home can be restored. You don't believe that a miracle can be done in your life. That's how we get. Elijah told him, he said, hey, God's going to send the rain. Then an earnest drive, verse 43. Let me say something. How many of y'all have prayed a few times for a certain thing? Raise your hand. Well, I want you to know something. How many believe, have you ever been guilty of this? That you gave up just before victory came? You know how many times Elijah told him to do it, Michael? Seven. I believe that's the number of completion. Perfection. Seven times! Oh, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll hit a lick for a couple times. Oh, we'll pray a couple times, then we'll get weary, and then we'll start doubting God, and we'll start saying, well, it ain't going to happen. I prayed, it ain't happening. No, you didn't keep praying. How many's ever read the verse, pray without ceasing? Amen. Keep praying. I'm thinking about Bruce Young. I wish he was here right now. You know what he'd do right now? Can you remember that song? Keep on praying. How's it go? You can't remember, can you? I can't either. Till something happens. Keep on praying. I remember him walking up and down this pulpit and singing that song, keep on praying. Ladies and gentlemen, you have not because you ask not. Pray seven times. Whew. Then I see last thing, I'm done. An ended drought. Let me ask you something. Can I ask you, will y'all all be honest? Will you be honest? How many of you right now say, preacher, I love God. I'm sincere, but I've had a drought. I ain't had much rain. I ain't had much rain. But if you do what God says, He'll end the rain. And He ended the drought. There's been some times in my pulpit ministry, in my ministry, where I had droughts. And I want you to know something. In the last 11 and a half years, we've had somebody saved in some ministry of this church at least once a week. And that's remarkable. Can I tell you something? I'll tell you what happens to old John Smith. If I go a few weeks without seeing anybody saved in the ministry, well, I think somebody ain't getting saved. I start begging God. I start pointing fingers at you. I start begging God in the drought. Several years ago, I probably told this story, I'll tell it again. Wayne Miles, how many remember Wayne? I loved him. Aubrey Grant, how many remember him? I loved him. Couple of, is it age 17? I got to quit. We went up to House Anderson to pastor school. We had been going between 150 and 200 up there to that church up there. And I found it come to the conclusion it must be me. So I went to that pastor school. Pastor preached on fresh oil. I beat my way down through 5,000 people, went to that altar. And I prayed. And one of the deacons came and prayed with me. And I said, any way Dr. House can come and just pray over me. Not that he was special. It just believe I wanted him to pray over me. And he did. He and I came back to this church. We had moved in that building. It was best half full. That Sunday I came back. 8 people got saved. We were getting this church in ready for an activity building. And we had it filled up in less than a year. And we had to come down here and start coming to church. How many remember that? We came down to a gymnasium. You said, what happened? God sent the rain. And I wonder how many people would like to come around this altar and say, God, I'm in a drought. And I'd like to have you touch. Stand with me. I know I went over. Y'all just come. Whew. Y'all be up here praying. Father, touch this invitation. Help us, help us, help us. In Jesus' name. Just come on. I'm going to set my chair and pray. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Lord, we need a fresh anointing. We cannot
Heavenly Father, Lord, we need a fresh anointing. Father, we need revival. I don't want revival to be some kind of story that's told, but Father, I want to experience it. Father, I want to see it with my own eyes. So, Father, we're coming to you right now, praying, Lord, that you would send it. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would do our part. We put that wood in order. Father, that you would do your part and send that fire. Send your Holy Spirit and power. Father, we need it in a desperate way. Father, we're being attacked by every corner on every turn. And Father, we need a refreshing, a renewal, a revival. Father, I pray that you send it just now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.